WNST, Tassel Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively in Catonsville, my homeland. I ordered something today that I haven't ordered in like 3 years, since before the plague. We are at State Fair. We are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. There's going to be crab involved in all of this, and maybe a crabby reporter and a journalist as well, as a very upbeat sports coach and athlete coach. My pal Jeff Brandis is coming over. Ron Cassie's with us. It is all brought to you by two awesome sponsors we have here, including our friends at State Fair. I've got Maryland Lottery Holiday Cash Drops. They're doing the 50th anniversary, Ron, so they're bringing back the lucky the wishbone from the old signs. I'm going to have those to give away soon. Our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. If you're thinking about getting your windows, now's the time. You buy two, you get two free. 5 years, 0% financing. And Baltimore Magazine. And so when Don's here, he's holding the magazine up, pulling the cards out, giving the subscription cards out and all that. But, like, I must say, full exposure behind the scenes, I follow you guys. This picture that showed up last week, right, of all of these legends in this dignified, beautiful, look like the Family Feud portrait, you know, like when they came on. I said, I'm going to reach to Cassie and get him out here for a crab cake. And I knew we were coming back to State Fair and doing a breakfast thing. And I thought, this is a perfect Baltimore Positive, football season's over, Lamar, Super Bowl, all that. Let's tell a Baltimore story, dude. What an inspired idea. Where did you come up with that, Ron Cassie? You're a genius.
As I've said before, a lot of these ideas kick around for a long time. And the idea of our cover story, which has Barbara Mikulski, Carla Hayden, Kurt Schmoke, Brooks Robinson, Joyce Scott, and John Waters all together. You know, I was just thinking there's a lot of folks who are been really fighters for Baltimore, lived here, made these enormous contributions to the city, and of course these folks have made national and international contributions, but that are like close to retirement age, you know? But there's also a lot of folks who are still working hard and carrying on busy schedules, and I just thought
Kurt Schmoke's like running a university, right?
Running a university. I mean, right, Barbara Mikulski is still down at Annapolis when Brooke Learman's getting sworn in, and John Waters works as hard as anybody, Joyce Scott. And so it was a little bit to pay homage to these folks. And there's a lot of other folks, too, you could include on this list. You know, I think of, like, Professor Larry Gibson at the University of Maryland still teaching law. I mean, he taught Elijah Cummings, right? And Stephanie Rawlings Blake, Reverend Alvin Hathaway, who's transforming the Thurgood Marshall Elementary School into a multi-purpose space.
You can bring them together next year, right? You can still do that.
Yeah.
Still time.
Still time. And, you know, Bob Embry at the Abel Foundation, right? I mean,
sure.
Goes back to Schaefer. And so, and also just, you know, the idea was to get some folks together who really knew these people in a personal way to write about them and their contributions. So, As wonderful it was, and such a miracle to actually bring all these people in the studio and see them all interact, which was just surreal to watch John Waters ask for Brooks Robinson's autograph. It was wonderful to have like Jed Dietz, the founder of the American Film Festival, to write about John Waters, or Representative John Sarbanes to write about Barbara Mikulski. Senator Sarbanes was, Paul Sarbanes was Barbara Mikulski's great mentor. I mean, she just raves about him. To have, you know, our mutual friend Jim Henneman, who actually saw Brooks Robinson play when Jim was an usher at Memorial Stadium.
I mean, well, Jim was at the Evening Sun when I got there in 86. Jim was the beat writer, and then Ken Rosenthal came in, and nobody knew who that whippersnapper was going to be or who Ken Rosenthal would turn out to be and his contributions in baseball. But, I mean, Jim Henneman was longtime official scorer right in the press box. But, I mean, Jim Henneman is the historian. He's the Sinatra of historians here, I would say, right? Baseball historians, right?
Absolutely. Jim's just a treasure, you know, himself. And we, you know, we got Carla Dupree, the City Lit director, to write about Carla Hayden. I don't want to leave anybody out. Dr. Peter Bielenson, you know, who wrote about Kurt Schmoke for us. I mean, Dr. Bielenson was a young you know, head of the public health department in Baltimore.
How many African American mayors were there before Kurt Schmoke in other cities? Atlanta, maybe there. Is Kurt Schmoke top first three? Sort of like Wes Moore, first three.
I don't
African
know if he's first three, but yeah. I'm going to forget there. Atlanta and Detroit, other places had mayors
in the 70s.
Yeah. I mean, Clarence Du Burns was, you know, had followed Schaefer immediately when Schaefer went to become governor, right? But then Kurt Schmoke's the first elected mayor. But, you know, all these people were trailblazers in their own right. And when it came to, like, dealing with the AIDS crisis in Baltimore, you know, 1987, Kurt Schmoke comes in and, you know, Ronald Reagan, the administration, had barely even mentioned the word at that point. And needle exchange programs and treating teen pregnancy and drug addiction as a public health issue. You know, Kurt Schmoke was way ahead of a lot of people. So all these folks in their own ways were really trailblazers, and we can talk about that too.
Ron Cassidy is my guest. We are at State Fair. We're in Catonsville. It's always great in the 21228. I haven't even shown the food, dude. I mean, it's Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. I'm not going to wear the bucket hat because my wife said my hair looked nice today if I put it down, but I put it back. This is the Crab Benedict here at State Fair. I want to make sure we get a look at this because I'm going to be eating this while Ron Cassidy's telling stories. We got a hell of a sunlight thing going on here, too. It looks like we're broadcasting in some Led Zeppelin video from Into the Light or something like that. But it's good to be back here, and it's good sort of long form out of football season to sit and talk about things. I do want to tell you this. Had Tommy Davidson on the show this week, a free plug. He was on a red eye. He was going to come by and hang out. I'm still going to get Ben Jealous on. So I have some other sort of like non-sports related guests. But John Waters is the bucket list of bucket list people that is left on my list, right?
Okay.
Like I've sat down with... Well, Jim Palmer won't sit with me, so that's another story altogether, but it's wacky. But God bless you, Jim. You're the greatest ever, really. And if you want to sit down, if anybody can get Jim Palmer on the show with me, you'd be doing something. But John Waters is the last one. I mean, I sat with Artie Donovan and Unitas, and just down the list, all that. I've never met John Waters. I've been in a room with John Waters once when he was doing his thing at the Lyric for Christmas, Christmases ago, right? So he's doing this soundstage thing, and I think there was an illness, and he had to push it off, and it's this weekend, and the guys at soundstage, Mike and everybody down there is just always so great to me. They treat me really, really well, so I want to give them some love.
Great venue.
Yeah, it's just a great place, and great people, and it was in my neighborhood. It was 6 blocks from where I lived. I walked across the harbor all the time. Bands, Child's Play last year. I saw Shaggy there one night ripping it up. Marcus King band. I mean, just great, great place. So John Waters is there next week. So Mike, I'm like, listen, I've been hitting Edie Brown forever about this, right? But I'm trying to get her working on a Foo Fighter so I can do a There Goes My Hero benefit. So I hit him and I said, listen, man, John Waters, other than seeing the Northern Lights, okay, my wife wants to do safari. I mean, there are places I want to go back to. I mean, I wouldn't mind spending a few days at the Seychelles or whatever, right? But bucket list for me, there's two things. There's see the Northern Lights, and you got to be cold to do that, and I don't like the cold. And there's sit down with John Waters on the show without knowing him at all and just talk to him. And I turned him down today. They offered me a Zoom, and I'm like, I really want to like sit with him. If you're going to give me him, I want to like do this. And he's not here today because I thought maybe he'd be here a week early. So I thought, wouldn't that be something? If John Waters came in here and sat next to me with Stevie Wonder and Gwen Stefani. So the John Waters part of this, let's start with that because I love Brooks, right? And it's not that I'm not fascinated by Brooks, but I love Brooks, sat with Brooks, got on a plane once at O'Hare flying back to Baltimore, late night flight, 10 o'clock flight. It's one of those big, wide bodies that they were going to fly to Hawaii the next day or whatever. So it had 350 seats on it. And there were 28 passengers, and Brooks and I were on it together. And Brooks says to me, Master, come on, sit down with me. Let's spend some time together, partner. You know what I mean? So that's Brooks, right?
Brooks
so
is a, Brooks
I'm not fascinated by Brooks.
Gentleman.
I love Brooks,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And Brooks and I, 2.5 hours in, and,
yeah.
you know, like on a flight back, it was beautiful. He offered me a ride. You know what I mean? That's who Brooks
yeah,
is, right?
Yeah.
So Barbara Mikulski, I went to her office. I revere her. She was the first ever guest off of a in her office with Don and I at the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of Baltimore Pod. She refused to wear the headset
because
she would mess up her hair.
I've just got if you're a journalist asking Barbara Mikulski political kind of questions and doing that kind of reporting, she's a tough cookie. She is the most intimidating person I think
Stare
I've ever interviewed.
Down?
Oh, listen, and she's, you know, less than 5 feet tall.
You don't mind
tall,
if I have a crab Benedict here at State Fair, do you?
Not at all.
All right.
And Senator Mikulski is, she does not brook fools. You know what I mean? Like, she is, if you're not prepared and on your toes and listening to what she's saying.
She is sharp. Let me tell you, Ron Cassie, she's sharp.
She's sharp and tough.
Well, we went in on her and her office over at Hopkins, and she had like a circle table. And you could check it out at Baltimore Positive because, I mean, it was one of my, of all the ones we've done, I told Don, we're going to Baltimore Positive Classic, which are the conversations we've had about classic issues and classic people. We had Wes Moore sitting at this table for 2 hours, 3.5 Christmases ago, and he swears he had no designs on being the governor. And there's no mention of anything even remotely like that in the conversation. So we've had these, I've had interesting people. But John Waters, too. I've had Kurt Schmoke on the show. I love Kurt Schmoke. You know, I mean, and I don't really know him, but I love him. And every time I see him in a room at Maritime Magic, I go up and I say, I love you, man. Like, so and he always offers to come on the show, and should get him out for a coffee one day. But John Waters. Let's go to John Waters. Ron Cassie, Baltimore Magazine. So tell everybody what the issue, because Don would be holding up the card now in the magazine. Tell everybody where they can find all of this, and then I want you to talk about John Waters while I'm at breakfast.
Yeah, the easiest way is if you go online, you can find the story. If you just Google like Trailblazers and Baltimore Magazine.
You're going to give Teitelbaum the credit for this, or Max? Who are you going to give credit? Is this your idea?
No, this was my idea.
Ooh.
I mean, it was a crazy idea. And I'll give Amanda White, our art director, a ton of credit. And, you know, I mean, Max, our editor-in-chief, you know, is amazing. She gives... You know, she gives the editors, including myself, like a lot of freedom to kind of pursue our ideas.
I bet I love Max
ideas.
More than you love. And I know you probably love Max, but I love Max.
Yeah,
Max
she gives
us
a...
favorite people over 40 years in Baltimore, really.
I know she feels the same way, by the way. And I know you guys go way back.
I just love Max.
Yeah.
I mean, she's one of the most compelling. She is an iconic Baltimore figure for me as a journalist, as a, you know, film critic. For her cello skills, for, you know, and she's spicy. You know what I mean? Like when she and I get together, it doesn't go well usually.
And
you know?
She's a big sports fan. And she's a big sports fan.
Well, it's movie time now. She's all locked in with her Oscars.
The Oscars, yes. But Amanda, what our art director, and I had the idea, and like but bringing all these people together, and I'll just say again, if you Google Baltimore Magazine and Trailblazers or Kurt Schmoke and John Waters, that it'll come up. The issue's not on the newsstand right now anymore, but you can also order it through, if you want that cover, order it through the website. But it's on our cover, we have Barbara Mikulski, Carla Hayden, Kurt Schmoke, Brooks Robinson, Joyce Scott, John Waters. We brought them all into the studio.
I love how you had to make a list, because like, there's so many, you have to write it down.
Well, I don't want to forget the people who wrote about them, as I mentioned, which was really like the whole other kind of beautiful part. Like, just the idea that, you know, it's kind of a crazy idea to get these people all in the studio at once, right? I mean, in fact, everybody asked Teitelbaum and Max and, like, myself, like, did you, like...
That's not really realistic that you're really going to...
Yeah, you're really right. Everybody's assuming...
It's very ambitious.
Very ambitious. And everybody's assuming that you're going to have to... add some people and Photoshop some people in, right, for these kind of covers. But everybody, this is the thing about Baltimore.
I love the picture that it looks a little bit like the cover of Clue or like Family Feud, right? It has that family portrait feeling. I love it.
Yeah, it does. I mean, partly they're not just all trailblazers, but their personalities are all unique and different, and of course the careers they pursued are wildly diverse. But they all, if you take them as a whole, I think really kind of represent Baltimore.
Yeah.
If you take each aspect of each person.
I saw the picture and I just kept saying, all right, man, this is going to be a story. How'd you get them all together?
Well, I got to give these folks the credit. I mean, they were super generous and on board, like, right away. You know, you send that email out to John Waters, and I've interviewed or known all these people at least a little bit, some more than others. So I sent an email to everybody, and you don't know the response you're going to get. But immediately, everybody wanted to work it out, wanted to work out a time and a date. And really, honestly, it came together. First, it was like a little iffy, and then
that
all of a sudden, it was like this.
Are.
It speaks to who they are. Listen, when John Waters, who's as busy as can be, says, "Well, this date won't work, but this will." Barbara Mikulski, and it's like another email goes out. Well, we have this date now. We have these folks on board, and everybody was enthusiastic and making it work. And it came together as a wild hair kind of idea, as a crazy idea. You know, that usually I get these when I'm like jogging around Patterson Park in the morning, right? I have an idea for covers.
Not Montebello, no.
I live by Patterson Park,
right,
so that's
right.
Normally where.
Was it by the pond where the ducks are, or no?
I love the pond where the ducks are.
I know you do. That's why I brought it up.
When they leave, I miss them like Tony Soprano. If people know that,
you get weepy.
I get weepy when they leave when they migrate. So it was a crazy scheme, kind of. And Chris Myers is a great photographer. Had the studio over in Woodbury in the Mill, It was, it was fun too. Is Carla Hayden brought her mother to the shoot, and John Waters doesn't have a big entourage. He shows up, drives himself. He's right on board. And he's as relaxed and unpretentious.
There's no pressure. There's no pressure on this, right? It's just you're just getting together, right? what did you ask them to do? You're laughing.
Well, the photo shoot, there was a lot of pressure on me for the photo shoot, but there is on the photographer and the videographer. If you go to our website, there's a great behind
the scenes.
It'll
look better than this video does online, where the sun is coming right through the solarium here.
Yeah.
And just banging right on the camera, and it's hilarious. But keep going.
If you check out the story online, Baltimore Trailblazers, Amanda's husband, Kurt, did a great behind-the-scenes video where you can see everybody kind of interacting, arriving together. And
it's like backstage at Daryl's house?
Yeah. And I do a little like kind of voiceover thing, but it was pressure on a photographer, of course, and because you have only a brief amount of time to shoot. First of all, the group shot would do everybody's individual portrait. And they're, like I said, these people are in their 70s and 80s, but they keep schedules that are much tighter than mine, to be honest with you. I mean, they're like, right, they're booked.
Damn handlers.
Well, Joyce Scott is going to do a lecture at the Maryland Institute College of Art, right? Kurt Schmoke, as you notice, is running a new university still, right? And Barbara Mikulski came, and, she's got a full plate as well in her 80s. So, it was one of the interesting things in that interaction is, of course, Barbara Mikulski knows like Kurt Schmoke, right? Because they're in politics. But you didn't realize that Barbara Mikulski would know Brooks Robinson because she's a lifelong Orioles fan. And
yeah, see, I thought about that when you first mentioned all these names. I thought, I bet Brooks and Barbara Mikulski probably know each other.
Right, but most people didn't know Brooks. He's a little bit like Kurt Schmoke was married. He recruited Carla Hayden here. Now, Carla is now the Librarian of Congress, right?
Right.
She was at the CEO of the Pratt Library for 26
sure.
years. Kurt Schmoke recruited her here. And, of course, Barbara Mikulski, the U.S. Senator, put her forth to be the Librarian of Congress. So there was a lot of kind of
special
Baltimore.
Yeah, okay.
And like Carla Hayden was saying, listen, we look out for each other here. That's the deal. Kind of thing.
I love
which was cool. Yeah,
we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it was, a little bit of pressure to keep the timelines, and you couldn't have everybody there for 2 hours. So you're kind of trying to stagger when Brooks is going to arrive.
This is not a cocktail party. There's no fanfare. This is like,
yeah,
it was a business convention, sort of a gathering of a photography and conversation.
Right,
a little bit.
And they're sitting around a kind of coffee tables in this kind of like
what's a one moment
warehouse
time.
Studio.
It's a little dream team.
It really was, yeah. It was.
So tell me about John Waters, man. What's John Waters really like? What am I going to find out about him when I say what should I talk to him about? If I hit you the night before and say what should I really what would be John Waters' sweet spot?
Well,
I would just talk to him about Baltimore, like literally in the Baltimore he knew. Is what I would try.
Yeah,
to talk
when Pink Flamingos. Came out in 72, right? So I did a story and talked to John at length and stuff about the 50th anniversary of Pink Flamingos, right? It's kind of like the breakthrough midnight movie.
I mean,
right?
It made him the Pope of Trash.
Midnight movies were not really a thing, it became a thing through, Pink Flamingos was like the second, was really one of the first big midnight movies that helped them become a thing by the time Rocky Horror comes a few years later.
It was a little before my time. You know,
it was just a little before my time. Rocky Horror was not before my time.
Rocky Horror with the rice at midnight and everything running around.
We did that in high school.
I did it one time and I didn't get it. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? At that point, I had discovered girls. I just had other things to do after midnight on a Saturday night.
I was in high school, and me and my buddies, and these are guys I played football with. We would go to the midnight movies.
Right.
You know, we'd drink some beer first, maybe get high first.
Right, yeah.
And, like, you know, that was our thing.
You know
the midnight movies was totally.
That was a problem. I mean, maybe.
But we threw the popcorn and the rice, and, you know, it was a blast. But, but so talking with the John Waters about
that,
you know, he's in this transition kind of from like hippiedom to punks, right?
Right.
And he and his friends are, and that time in Baltimore when they all come together, you know, is really unique. I talked about that, but I mean, he's a tremendous writer. I mean, he's one of the best writers in Baltimore, John Waters. He's a great stand-up performer. As you know. And he's a great filmmaker, and he's a great artist and art collector curator. So he's donated recently large portions of his works to his collection, to the BMA, and
which is awesome.
Yeah,
and that's what you would want a local art. I mean, that's what makes local art thrive, right? Keeping it here.
Yeah, and I think, you know, John Waters.
The next 20 years, people are going to want to go down there and see this work, right?
Yeah, and it really speaks to John's love of Baltimore. He, as anybody knows, could live anywhere in the world, and he has homes in San Francisco, New York, and I think Providence. But there's something that's, you know, gritty about Baltimore. It's still a haven. It's still a lot of artists come out of Baltimore still, and it's one of those places that where people still struggle and fight, kind of. In the city, things can be difficult, but it's also, you know, it's kind of that fire that makes artists and creative people, right? Like, if it's, you know, great artists are not coming out of the Napa Valley, right? Like, maybe great winemakers, but great wine, but so he's chosen, to stay here his whole life.
My wife Cisco's from Baltimore. She didn't really even know that.
Yeah.
You know, just thinking about, you know, things that come from here, people that come from here,
yeah.
Michael Phelps's, and, you know, what that we have this, pipeline to another generation of great things and great people as well, right?
Yeah.
Literally, right? I mean, Wes Moore's on to something good right now down in Annapolis, right? So there's a Baltimore. We're not dead and buried. That's all I would say.
Yeah, we have great street artists. We have great painters like Jarrell Gibbs and Derek Adams, you know, is a great painter from Baltimore. Amy Sherald, kind of like, you know, really got her start here. I mean, we have great, you know, visual artists, great writers coming out here. Ta-Nehisi Coates, D. Watkins, right? So great photographers like Devin Allen, right? So you have, and I think John Waters is still attracted to that part of Baltimore that's gritty, that's diverse, that's creative, that's there's still people struggling to make it. It still attracts artists because it's really cheap.
You have to spend time
compared to other. You have to spend time here.
See, I love when you Ron Cassie from Baltimore Magazine here. At some point, I'm going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of other things, but maybe I should break with this and let you come back and talk more about it. But Ron's at Baltimore Magazine, Game Changers, correct? Game Changers. Go find a magazine.
Trailblazers.
Trailblazers. I got the wrong word. I'm sorry. I don't have it in front. That's why you write things down. It doesn't say Trailblazers down here. Where's my producer and my production? We're at State Fair in Catonsville. No, it's one thing for me to be from Dundalk and love Baltimore, and you talk about Patterson Park, and we can talk about love of Baltimore. You're not from here. And I think that makes it even more interesting that Marty Bass across the street, too. I hope he comes by and says coffee, but guys that come here, Rodericks and I talked about this at length, Anna Fadley's, people that come from other places, and even the most completely ardent supporter of Baltimore who is completely provincial, completely, you ain't from around here kind of guy, that when people like you, when John Eisenberg, I'm just thinking of people I know who've made a life here, a long life here, Resig, you know, from other places, I often think to myself, what is it about this place that you guys like, you know what I mean, so much? And you talk about it very eloquently, but I don't think, yeah, and every person I've talked about are a little bit of a journalist to settle here, artists, people that want to capture what they're seeing around them. I just want you to think about that. What keeps you here, all right?
Okay.
You do love Baltimore, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wrote a book called If You Love Baltimore, It Will Love You Back.
I know. That's why when you started going down that aisle of artists and Ron's here. He's got Trailblazers. I'm not going to forget that now that you've told me. We're at State Fair. I am having the delicious Crab Benedict for breakfast here. I love being here. We've been over at El Guapo a whole bunch, eating nachos. We did that with Jane Miller joined us over there, Rob Roblin. I was over at the Beaumont with dear friends of mine, Howard Scherer, Bill Yerman, other guests. Lou Weinkamp joined me that day. We're here at State Fair today. Going to be joined by my pal Jeff Brandis as well a little later on. Fellow 513 Raven PSL season ticket holder, an athlete coach, and a really good man as well. But I want to do at least one more segment with Ron. I'm going to take a break and get my coffee together from Rofo. Going to get settled here. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation and our friends at the Maryland Lottery, the holiday cash drops. I have a handful of these left. I have a couple of Raven scratch-offs still left here, even though Raven season is over, and we are up on Super Bowl and the offseason. We call it the Lamar season around here. We'll come back. We'll ask Ron Cassie what he thinks is going to happen. Do you have a Lamar opinion, or do you not?
Not, I'm already looking for baseball, man. I'm so excited for the Orioles season.
All right, you know what? I'm going to ask you about the John Angelo's press conference and how you would feel if that was you he was yelling at. I am Nestor. We are WNST. Back for more State Fair, Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Ron Cassie, one of my favorite guests. I'm eating great food. Stay with us.